You're listening to the Sports Biz Podcast, broadcasted live at WNHU on the campus of the University of New Haven.
Rob Thompson, Sports Biz Podcast, interview with influencers. We got a really cool guest, and I'm going to get your name right, too. I said it once before, and I'm going to say Amobi Okugo.
Oh, first name right, last name Okugo.
Ah!
All right, so we'll get one out of two. It's good. You're good.
Ah! Tell me I'm not the only one that messes that one up.
Oh, no, it's been a lifetime. But you tried, and that's the most important thing.
I know. Jeez, I should. You know what I should have done? I should have went on YouTube and waited and watched some of your highlights, and I would have gotten it there. So tell us – by the way, thanks for your time. And I know we connected in the power of social media. We connected, I think, Instagram, right?
Instagram, then LinkedIn, or LinkedIn, then Instagram?
I think it was Instagram, then LinkedIn, because I saw, you know I saw the Frugal Athlete, but I just want to hear your story. Like, what's your story? What's your family story? Like, everything that shaped who you are right now.
Okay, perfect. So, quick backstory. Actually, first of all, thank you for having me, and thank you for being able to make it work so close after Labor Day weekend too. So,
yeah,
I appreciate. I mean, this is an amazing platform, so I'm very fortunate. So, quick backstory. First generation Nigerian American. Both my parents immigrated here from Nigeria. I was born in Hayward, but moved to Sacramento when I was three. I'm the oldest of four siblings. My brother, he works player development for the Sacramento Kings. My sister is a senior in college at UC Riverside. And then my youngest brother is a senior in high school, and he plays soccer as well. So grew up playing soccer and basketball until soccer kind of took over. I was invited to the U17 National Team Residency Program in Bradenton, Florida, where we train at IMG Academy, and it's basically like boarding school. Mm-hmm. So I was there for 2 years during my high school career, then came back, finished my high school in Sacramento, and then I went to UCLA for a soccer scholarship. After my freshman year, it was quick. You know, the coach always jokes with me. He said, I spent 3 years recruiting you, and you only stayed for 3 months. So I left after my freshman year, and then got drafted in 2010 in the MLS Super Draft to Philadelphia Union. So I spent 8 years in MLS, 5 years with Philadelphia, stops in Orlando, Kansas City, my last stop in Portland. And then now I'm playing in Austin for the USL team, Austin Bowl. And that's a little bit about myself from the soccer side. From the business side, I started a Frugal Athlete around 3 years ago. It was kind of started after I watched the 30 for 30 Broke documentary. Yeah. And I was trying to find athletes that I could kind of use as role models. And I kept finding athletes like LeBron James and Kobe Bryant, Tom Brady, athletes that I couldn't really compare myself to from a compensation standpoint, or athletes kind of like the broke model where they lost all their money. So I started a Frugal Athlete to try to promote positive examples of athletes that are being smart and prudent with their finances that I could kind of relate to from a full scale across the board.
So talk about what, because there's always a story behind that. I mean, as an influence, who is influential in your life? Were your parents educators, or were your parents entrepreneurs? Because it usually always starts there.
Yeah, so my parents, they weren't necessarily entrepreneurs, but they were educators and really strict, you know, just coming from a Nigerian household. You know, always focus on your studies. When I was playing sports, it was more of, you know, to build friendships and then to hopefully get a college soccer scholarship. It wasn't ever like, you know, professional opportunity could come out of it until I got invited to residency and until all these opportunities started to come. So even when I left school early, I had to promise my parents that I would be, I would finish my degree.
Were your parents more happy for you that you got drafted, or were they more upset with you that you left college?
it was a combination of both. Yeah. I think once they saw the contract and they got around the idea that the contract I signed would reimburse me for school, they kind of got around to it. But
that works. Yeah.
Yeah. They said that we can make it work.
Yeah. So you finished.
Yeah, so I finished. I got my bachelor's degree. I did the slow and steady process, but I ended up getting my bachelor's degree, and I'm currently getting my master's in sports law. I've done a couple of executive education programs, and hopefully maybe an MBA is in the future as well.
Gotcha. What was that turning point? I know that you were in the players union when you were an athlete representing your side of the table as far as the negotiations. What was it that intrigued you to the business side when you're playing?
So I've always been interested in business. And I think it's just conversations with my dad. You know, he's like, he's always thinking ahead. He's like, you know, did you see what the owner did? You know, you see how the owner made his money? He went to law school. He always, you know, kept planting those seeds. So I was always interested in business. You know, business lasts a lot longer than sports. Mm-hmm. So from that perspective, it was that's what piqued my curiosity. And then just realizing our situation. You know, you're in your early 20s. You know, you feel like you're on top of the world. You have, you know, have a good, you know, no student loan debt. You have some capital that you could work with. So how can you take this head start or this springboard and really, you know, supplant it for your whole career?
So talk about your mindset. And this is something that I've always been interested in myself that played, and I played over in Europe, but American football. But you go from that, man, I'd do this for free, right? To you go through that journey of I'd do this for free to, well, how much are we making? To I better be making more. To I ain't going to play for these guys, right? So what was your journey like?
Oh my gosh, that was one of the best questions I got on the podcast ever, because that's so true. Like when I'm growing up, you know, you just happy to be there. And I think it was, you know, mid rookie year when me and another rookie, my roommate at the time, we were just, you know, like just kids happy to be there. We were like gym rats and be there. Yeah. And one of the older guys was just like, just give it a year.
Yeah.
He's like, what you mean? He's like, all that stuff you're doing, you guys are gonna soon realize. Yeah. And I think it was just like, you guys, like just a mindset shift. Like you're here, this is your job now. You know, it was understanding like, you know, you got to support your family, you got to support your needs. And as much fun as soccer is, you know, you're putting your body on the line every day, not to the extent of American football, but you know, it's long hours, a lot of sacrifices, missing family events, and realizing, you know, knowing your worth. I think that conversation, that little jab by one of the older players really got me like shifting the mindset. And then obviously, as much as people don't want to talk about it, you know, people comparing each other in the locker room, just the competition within the locker room, like, oh my gosh, he's barely playing, but he got this.
How much money he's making, yeah.
Exactly, so.
What at this point now, this is kind of your 2.0 version in the industry. Do you find yourself more grateful now that you're still out there playing and competing and still getting paid to play?
Yeah, it's a blessing. You know, I feel like you said, this is a 2.0 version, and just understanding the leverage you have, even outside of how much money you're making as a professional athlete, you really can't take it for granted. I've talked to guys that have retired that really. I don't want to say like struggling, but like they really miss the locker room. They really miss the day-to-day of being able to compete. And to be honest, like 9 to 12, 9 to 1, and then you got your whole day to really chill, unless you have a family and stuff. Off seasons, like you can't really beat it.
It's a great lifestyle.
it's
an addicting lifestyle. There's no doubt about it. And then when it's all over and you realize people, you know, you become not relevant anymore.
Exactly.
It hurts, but so you're using this platform now. Obviously you realize that it's much more than just the money. It's more about the visibility and using a platform to get a message out there. Talk about Frugal Athlete and talk about kind of the model and how you're attracting athletes and pro athletes now to be a part of it. And what is the collaborative effort between the two sides, and what are you looking for to achieve?
Yeah, so a Frugal Athlete is essentially an online media platform that hopes to promote prudent financial practices and smart career decisions amongst professional athletes and student athletes. Like we talked about earlier, you know, being a professional athlete, even student athlete for that matter, you have an infinite amount of leverage that I feel like we don't use enough, whether it's capital, whether it's resources, whether it's network. And what we try to promote with the Frugal Athlete is being economical, being efficient, and being prudent in using all these different resources to your advantage. So we work with athletes, you know, to help spread the mission, spread the word about other athletes, you know, because it's always easier to learn from someone that you can kind of see that you've seen on TV or that you've worked with in the locker room, and then gone from there. Before we've seen like the scare tactics, almost like this guy lost all their money, don't be like him or don't be like her. But we don't have a solution to these problems. It's just, you know, everyone loves a tragedy story, but there's no solution or no answers. So with the Frugal Athlete, we're trying to provide, you know, positive stories, positive examples where you can kind of take their approach and then apply it to your own, you know, financial playbook or career playbook or just life in general. And as professional athletes, we feel like we're natural trendsetters. So for the young kid growing up that wants to be a professional athlete because, you know, he can buy his mom a house or get the car that he wants to drive, his dream car. Now it's like, no, I want to be a professional athlete because I saw that he was able to, you know, build generational wealth for his family, or he was able to impact the community he grew up in, or he was able to leverage, you know, being a student athlete to get a job that he wouldn't have never got before. So we're just trying to change the mindset because only 2% of student athletes go pro. So what about the other 98%?
Yeah. Well, so talk about, yeah, I mean, 2%, I think it's 6% for college and then 2% for pros. Yeah. But what is, from kids going to high school, I don't know, I got to finish my thought. I started going on drifting off into a different direction. So did you have a financial advisor or an agent at one point sit down with you and say, Moby, this is what you're looking like your pay schedule? Because most people don't know, professional athletes don't get paid year-round salaries, right? So you're getting paid.
We get paid year-round.
Soccer does?
Yeah, so we get paid. Actually, for MLS, you get paid biweekly for the whole year. USL, you get paid during the season. NFL, you get paid during the season. I'm not sure how it works in the NBA, but it's all contingent on the league you're in and, you know, what you negotiate.
One paycheck in the NBA, then you're set for the year anyway. So it's like, I'm good. Just, you can throw, okay. So did you have an advisor at that point to sit down and kind of go over a budget with you, or that's something you already knew?
It was a combination of something I already knew and then working out with my dad. My dad's my agent, my manager, my financial advisor. He's kind of, you know, albeit, but obviously I worked with like a certified agent and a certified financial advisor. But when we first got my first contract and my signing bonus, we kind of sat down, really structured how we were going to go about, at least for that first contract, how we're going to go about it. And then when I signed my next second contract, we had a whole new strategy based on where I was at, kind of the visions I had for where I wanted to be. And then now in this 2.0 version, it's a little bit different strategy as well.
Yeah. Well, you mean that Nike money hasn't kicked in yet? I'm waiting for that one.
Yeah.
So how do people find out about Frugal Athlete? Where do they find you?
So they could find a Frugal Athlete on web, www.frugalathlete.com. We're on all social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, at Frugal Athlete. We even have a Facebook page, or you could reach out to me personally, Moby Says on Twitter and Instagram. I'm on LinkedIn. We're really open to talking. We do workshops, speaking engagements, small-time consulting in certain different areas. And then we just provide content. We got a podcast. We got a weekly newsletter. We got the website where we provide blogs and stuff as well.
You know, there's one part, and this is a question I ask every guest, but I want to tee it up for you. So the question's going to be, and the question is, it's not going to be, it is, what advice would you give yourself now, if you met yourself back then when you're 18, 19 years old, over at IMG Academy, missing home, but, you know, in practice in a paradise, all you can eat, the whole thing. I love that place, by the way. There was one part of my life now as a 52-year-old that I wish, going through that earlier on process, I wish I enjoyed the moment more because I was always worried about the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. You know, so my advice would always be to go back and enjoy the moment. But for you, what would be your advice that you would give, not just to yourself at 18 years old, but anybody kind of in that time frame going through that same experience?
Oh, that's a great question. I would probably either say don't take it for granted, or start like now in terms of like the other endeavors that you wanted to do? Like if I started a football athlete, like right when I started playing pro, you know, I don't want to say like I have a future for the vision or for the vision for the future, but I feel like it could be twice as where it is now. But I would say don't take it for granted because, you know, growing up, I was very fortunate even before I went pro to have these opportunities, you know, to play at a high level. And a lot of people I grew up with that were, you know, just as good, if not better, kind of fell by the wayside as I continue to climb up the ladder. So just don't take it for granted. You know, I've been a free agent a couple times. I've been traded. So I understand, like, you know, it's not promised, the sport. And there's nothing better than playing professional sports. That's why everyone watches it. That's why everyone follows it. That's why everyone tries to be an athlete. And so just don't take it for granted. You know, some people are playing to provide for their families. Some people are playing for the fame. Some people are playing for the money. Some people are playing for the passion. Whatever you're playing for, you know, make sure you just don't take it for granted.
That's so true. So true. And enjoy the moment. Enjoy exactly. Live in the moment. Put the phone down for a little while and just pick your head up and look around. But this is the last one. This is the last one because I just thought of this I know this has kind of surfaced a lot with mental health in sports, and people ask me, you know, about certain guys that you play with and how good was this guy. And we all played with guys that were just, if they continue to play for whatever reason, they stopped. They would have been we all grew up with that guy who was better than anybody we've ever played in college or pro with. But for some reason, people talk about it's their heart. I don't think it's their heart. I think it's all mental. And, you know, mentally just being able to take abuse from coaches, being able to push through pain, you know, and people don't understand. They hear about it. But talk about, you know, your psychological piece of it, because that's 85% of being a pro athlete. It's the mental part. So talk about that a little bit now of what you know about yourself, your mindfulness, and kind of what got you through the very hard times.
I think it's you just got to understand yourself. You got to know who you are at the end of the day, whether a coach is getting on you, other players, or you like you're having a bad run of form. You have to understand, you know, why you're playing, what you're here for, what qualities you bring. And you got to be your biggest motivator. At the end of the day, you can't get it from anybody else. And like you said, you know, people say if your heart's not in it, I definitely agree with you. I think the mind is the first one to go. And once the mind goes, then everything else goes. Because the passion is always there. The passion is there when you're doing well. But it's about the passion when it's not going well. And how your mindset is, how your mindset is can help. Whether it's going bad or going well, how you attack the problem.
And no one likes the guy in the locker room that all they do is complain, right? It's never the most popular guy in the locker room. It's always the guy who's the funnest, right? The funniest, who can imitate everybody, and that's positive.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's the same way in business. No one likes the complainer.
It just brings everybody down. Yeah. And the coaches and the other players can spot it out too. Like after a while, you'll start to realize you're becoming a cancer to the locker room.
Look at Antonio Brown. It wasn't because he wasn't a great player anymore. They got tired of him.
Yeah. I'm excited to see the last episode of Hard Knocks. We'll see see what he's doing with his helmet.
I can't wait. I want to see the unedited version of what Gruden really had to say. Right? Chucky was all
over. I'm going with if you're with me.
Yeah. That's the greatest. Tell me you couldn't play for Chucky, though.
Oh, I would definitely play for him.
Right?
I almost was like, yo, can I become a field goal kicker?
Right. Tell me, though, like, if you play with enough coaches, you're like, I could play for that dude.
Exactly. He just, oh, my gosh. I'm like, when they say, like, you'd run through a brick wall for him, he's one of the coaches that, I from the outside looking in, I think – he's a good player's coach.
Because you just – how he leads, even those meetings, anybody who's played at that level, you're sitting in those meetings 99% of the time. They're boring. You go in there, this guy, and you know they have that – they'll have those jokes forever with him knocking on the table, right?
Yeah.
How about this? How about the first episode when they got up and they shook each other's hands to welcome them to the league or to the season? How great was that?
That's all about communities, that family environment.
Yeah.
That's really, and even like for him to be able to make fun of himself, to have the impersonator come in too.
That was the best.
You gotta love it.
That was the best. Listen, it was great talking to you. Anything, you know, I hope to run into you someday. I'll be rooting for you down
Where's home base?
I'm up in Saratoga Springs, New York, in Connecticut during the week here. So,
Yeah, I'm gonna have to get out and connect with you at some point. I really appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. Well, check out. We have Sports Biz Startup Weekend is happening down in Orlando. I think you guys are off season then. Orlando, 23rd and 25th of January. So we got a big conference coming up then.
Okay. Yeah, I might have to make that trip.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. I mean, there'll be collaborators in there. There'll be investors, and it'll be a good place for you to be. I think at this point in your career, so it'll be a lot of really great people there.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. Congratulations on your career. We're wishing you the most success in your future. I don't think you're just getting started, my friend.
Thanks for kind words.
And so thanks again for joining Sports Biz Podcast Interview with Influencers. I'm Rob. That's Amobi over there. Thank you so much for everything. And we'll see you next time through. And please feel free to reach out at any time.
Yes, sir.
Take care.
You're listening to Sports Biz Podcast, broadcasted live at WNHU on the campus of the University of New Haven.